I guess we say for the record, our question for tonight is, do you know what your responsibilities are as a Christian in the midst of all the world's troubles? Now, there's no trick, but y'all been around with me long enough to know you need to pay attention to this, to what is written here. Now, first off, before you go into what you've written, what is this question saying to you? What you get from it right away? Don't think too deep in it. I need to know your first reaction. Come on.
Okay, either praying or reading the word, or in times like this, we should be studying more and evangelizing.
Okay, let me reiterate.
Okay.
What do you think I mean when I ask this question? Let me rephrase that. What do you think I mean when I say, do you know what your responsibilities are as a Christian in the midst of all the world's troubles?
Praying.
All right,
Well,
let me break it down for before you even answer. Well, go
you're
ahead.
talking down enough.
No,
You're
I didn't.
talking
I
down
don't
enough.
know. I don't know if I did. Because
Okay, go ahead. Do it again.
Karen's
Do
not
it
getting what I'm saying.
again. She might not be. Go ahead. Break it down some more.
First off, notice I said the world's troubles. I said the world's troubles. That's the key to this whole question. And I made it a point to say what is, I didn't say what is your responsibility, but as a Christian, and I distinguish between Christian and the world's troubles. That's the biggest clue that I got for you. Now, what were you ready to say, Digamos? Does that change your perspective on the question?
Oh, not at all.
Okay.
I hit you with Ecclesiastes 12:13.
Okay. Ecclesiastes 12:13.
12:13.
Okay, let me get right there with you. Ecclesiastes 12:13. I'm there whenever y'all both there. I'm there with you. You
You
there,
gotta
Karen?
catch up.
Karen, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Okay, it says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. This verse answers everything in time of trouble, in time of peace.
In time of trouble, in time of peace. What else does it add? It's a good verse. What else does it say? What you grab out of that? Huh?
Want me to read further?
You don't know. That's good enough. There's more in there than what you just said. I see more in there.
As we fear God and keep the commandments, it's not just the Ten Commandments. We know it's the hundreds of commandments and
Okay, now
mandates.
that's what I wanted you to bring that out. That's important. That is very
Okay.
important.
Yes.
And keep his commandments. There's
Yeah.
plenty of them.
Oh yeah.
And it's amazing that you bring that out, because I will be bringing the same thing up just from a different perspective. You
Okay.
know, well, not from different perspective. Yeah, I'll say different, not perspective, but different passage of scripture. But that's key point. That's a very key point. You know, now when he says fear God, what do you think about that, though? What do you think that means, fear God?
A lot of people think
Oh, wait,
when they say fear.
but Karen was, I'm sorry, you cut
Never
her off.
mind. Oh, I'm sorry, Kat. I'm sorry.
We're supposed to reverence him.
You use the word fear and reverence. Sorry, that's fine. That's fine. That is fine. Yes, go ahead, Dingmoose. You said.
What I would say is give me 1 second. I'm looking it up in the Hebrew. And the case is exactly right. It's both. It says to fear morally or to revere. And causatively to frighten. It's both.
Yeah,
It's
well, that's what
both.
it is. It means to
It's not
hold in
just love
reverence.
them, but fear
Yeah.
frightened.
Yeah,
Just like,
hold God in reverence. Yeah, go ahead.
what would you, when you hold something in reverence, that more leans more to respect. When you
Exactly.
hold something in fear,
Exactly.
when you hold something in fear, that's more to an emotion of a repercussion of if you don't do the right thing, you're gonna be punished.
That all so all of that is correct. All of that is correct. All of that is good. All of that is good. So yes. Now, in our question, the world's troubles. What is that? Does that kind of see that, that's why I want you to look at the question. Does that kind of take you the direction? What do I mean by the world's troubles? What could I possibly mean by that?
Oh, you want me to say it?
Anyone? I'm speaking to anybody.
Well, you want me to? With me, when it say the world troubles, you look at this verse and it says, "Keep the commandments, fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man, mankind." That's what it means. The whole duty of humankind. We gotta fear God, do what He say, do. People, we don't forgive ourselves for the wrong we do, which hold us back from the power we can have with God. If we learn how to forgive ourselves for the wrong things or thoughts or actions or things we said, because God said, "I'll forgive you, I told you to sin, remember no more." If we learn how to forgive ourselves, we can have more power with God, each and every one of us, even me. But we hold so much stuff against us, Lord, did I do this right? That's when you're conscious of your fellowship with God, not your relationship, your fellowship with God, because you don't want to get out of fellowship. You don't want to get out of fellowship. No. When you lose your fellowship, you lose your power. When you have more fellowship, you have more power.
Okay, what do you think when the phrase world's troubles?
What's going on in this nation? What's going on in this nation?
But but I see another connotation in that. Now, when I say the world's troubles, yes, to say that's what you're saying. Okay, yeah, that's correct. The trouble in the world, but my focus becomes more on people. When I say world's troubles, I'm not talking about the devastations. I'm not talking about the tsunamis, the earthquakes. That no, I'm talking about things involving people. People getting mugged. People getting abused. People crimes that take place and things that's going on with people. Things that are affecting people's livelihood. People directly. I'm not so not so much. Yeah, we can say, oh man, taxes are killing us. I'm not talking about taxes. I'm talking about other things directly affecting people in, more directly. It could include taxes. It could do that. It could be, but it's affecting people. You follow what I'm saying? Yes.
Well, the Bible tells us at the end of time, it's going to be perilous. People are going to become more and more wicked. I'll give you a good example. Only but a few months ago last year, it was a nursing home that blew up. But the people in there were telling they smelled gas for a number of hours, not two or three, but over 12 hours. Matter of fact, I think it was a whole day and a half. They said, "We smelled gas." And the next thing you know, the place blew up, killing some of the machines. They tell them they smell gas, but people, they so non-caring. They don't give a darn. Even though you're getting a paycheck for a job, they don't want to do it. They don't want to investigate. They don't want to go the next measure to do the right thing. or to investigate to make sure you can put this senior at ease. They don't care. They don't care. They don't, and the Lord told you that. They're going to get worse and worse. And it ain't going to change. I was talking to Karen the other day about you and her. It's good that you would hope that the person changed, but they're not going to change unless the Lord himself touch them or someone his angels touch them, or they're on their deathbed thinking they're going to die and go to hell. That's pain. Hey, I told Karen, Deaconess Karen, I said, Karen, tell me when I said that, when I've been wrong, and I'll never say it again, but you can't.
They're gonna not
Hi,
only are they, but
everybody.
hey, how you doing? Not only are they afraid that they'll die and go to hell,
And go straight there.
my God.
Yeah, but it's scared. It's scared. They portray they know God and love God, but when it comes down to nitty gritty, you do your own thing.
Yeah, it's as long as we've been in it, you and I, Moses, we've seen a lot of
Yeah, mercy.
people have come and people have gone, and we ask them to do certain things. Even though it's a volunteer situation, it's not a commitment. But we just when you ask for people to do stuff and they, say they're gonna do it, and then next thing you know, you don't see nothing. But it takes commitment. And to follow up with your question, our responsibility is a commitment to prayer, a commitment to witness to other people. And the Lord told us not to live in fear. We are supposed to pray for one another at all times. And it's a lot on us. It's too much. It could make you go crazy, but if you stay in the word and really get into it, make that first in your life, the Lord, this helps a lot. We just have to stand on the Lord's word and his promises and lean and depend on him. So that's, just want to, it's a
Amen.
lot, but.
Amen.
Well, I'm sorry, Peachy, did you, were you saying something?
No, I didn't. I just said hi, like,
Okay.
okay.
Now, what really prompted me to go this way besides the Lord's direction? As you know, I don't know if you hear the murmurings of a lot of people. Are we talking about, well, hey, look at what's going on, in the world. We got all this stuff going on. People getting mugged. People get people older, elder abuse. People getting taken advantage of. The children taking their older parents' money and all kinds of stuff that's going on. And yes, it's spilling out into society. That's why, you got you're afraid to go even to the stores. You look at a crowd or group of young people hanging on the corner or hanging in front of the store or, or sitting near. You're afraid to even go walk in the street. Used to be you'd be afraid to go out at night, but you're almost just as afraid to go out during the day. You're hearing all of this. But this is the part that I hear also. Where is the church while all this is happening? How many of you have heard that? Have y'all heard that murmurings? Where's the church at with all this going on? Yeah, where's the church? Well, this is where, to me, some other questions have to be asked. The first thing is, who's asking the question? Is it the store owners? Is it the people that are the victims? Or is the victimizers? Is it people? You know what? It's just like, oh, how can I put it? The people that are doing all the complaining are the ones who's losing money. So who's asking this question? You asked me, where is the church? Where is the church and all that there? Now, before anybody who says that they're Christians, they're believers, starts getting defensive on this, okay? Before you get defensive and you start hearing this question, you need to ask yourself that question. Who are you asking? Okay, I mean, who's asking this? Is this coming from people who are talking about the local church? When they say the church, what are they referring to? Are you referring when they say, "Where's the church?" What? Who are they talking about? Also, because see, are you talking about the Catholics? See, I don't hear people saying, when they talk about the church, I don't hear a whole lot of mention of the Hindus. I hear them being mentioned by name. The Muslims. The Catholics. They don't say Roman Catholic, but that's the proper thing. But they say Catholics. Where are the Catholics? Okay. But when they say, "Where is the church?" Who are they referring to? Have we made it clear as a as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, as teachers, as preachers, pastors, have we made it clear to people that these buildings that they're looking at, I don't care how large they are, how small they are, how beautiful they are, how unpleasant to the eye they may be, that is not the church of that the Holy Bible is speaking about. Not these buildings. It's the people that's going in these buildings. That building is doing nothing more than how those these buildings are doing nothing more than housing the church, allowing the church to come in and congregate, that they may worship, praise the Lord, fellowship together. That's all it's doing. To keep us from the elements, keep us cool when it's hot, keep us warm when it's cold, and keep the rain off of us, and so forth and so on. That's what these buildings are for. When the Holy Bible's referring to the church, they're not talking about these buildings. They're not talking about Enon, 19th Street Baptist, Holy Trinity, and the list goes on and on. They're not talking about these local churches, these local church buildings. They're talking about the Holy Bible is talking about the called out ones. That's who it's talking about. So my question is, when these people are talking about where is the church, and when all this is going on, who are they talking? I want to know who's asking the question. Are you one of those who don't go inside those local buildings and asking this question? Are you one of those who goes in there? To supposed to be part of the church. I want to know who's asking the question. And then I want to make sure who you're referring to. Okay? And then thirdly, do you really know what your responsibility is as a member of the church? As part of the church, is more proper to say, but do you know what your responsibility is? And with those things being raised, okay, this is where we look at the Word of God and see what the Word of God has to say, because the world is not going to do that. The world loves to be able to say, "Well, what is the church doing?" and just leave it hanging out there in the wind. But all the while, when you talk about church, where are you going to find the definition of the church? The world wants to put the church. They don't know what to do with it. They're partly correct, because when they ask that question, they're referring to people, but they don't want to say that, because now you got to ask, what people are you talking about? Are you talking about Buddhists? Oh no, they don't. Buddhists don't good. No, they have a temple. Oh, you're talking about Muslims? No, they have a mosque. Well, what are you talking about? The Catholics? Oh no, they have cathedrals. We call them churches, but that's what they refer to. They in themselves call cathedrals or temples. Oh, so you're talking about Christians. See, and the world is not going to let you put them in that rabbit hole like that, or put them in that box like that. Why? Because if you talk about Christians like that, you know, in the world, if you notice what they try to do, they try to use the word Christian as an umbrella to put Seventh-day Adventist there. They'll put anybody who is not like Muslim or Eastern religion, they'll put them under that umbrella of Christian, including the Catholics. They put them under the umbrellas of Christian also. And if you go to certain places, certain other places, you know, I've gone to a couple of different churches, as we can say, they call themselves Catholic Christians. For one, it's right there, 20th Christian. If you go there, that's what they refer to their membership. They call themselves Catholic Christians. So, what do you think about this so far? Now, when you hear this, when you talk about your responsibilities as a Christian, when it comes to in the midst of all of these world's troubles, what is your responsibility as a Christian in the midst of all the world's troubles? How do you, what do you think now? You still stand where you still stay where you landed at originally, or do you want to expound or what you've said? Anybody?
I don't know what was said before I got on, but if some of the answers were we're still to be teaching people to obey the word, making disciples, if that was the previous answers, because there's nothing new under the sun. Even though as we're seeing it now in 2026, nothing new is going on. It's just a new twist or with more technology and stuff like that. So I don't think our job has changed as far as making disciples, and but if they look at it like they want to, like looking at the person, they need to see us living godly lives in the process. But I don't think our job has changed, and unless you're getting into specific giftings and stuff that people are operating in the gift and stuff like that. But that's still to bring people into the kingdom. So I like I said, I don't know what was said beforehand, but that would be more my position.
Very good. Anybody want to comment or expound on that?
No, I don't. No, I don't want to comment on what Deke said, but I will say this statement that a lot of the songs of old tell you when I look back over my life and see how God brought me over, when I take inventory of my life, that's when you know a person is self-observing their self and what they're doing through the power of God to change atmospheres wherever they go. That's when the person can tell you that. When I take inventory of my life, I look back and see where the Lord gave me power so I can do this through his name. I can't do nothing. Moses Cotton don't have no power, but the Lord got all the power. And with him, like Reverend Thompson used to say, one with God is the majority. One with God is the majority. He said one can chase 1,000 and two can put 10,000 to flight. But you gotta be grounded in what you believe, grounded in your faith, grounded in what you want to stand on. A lot of people, I talked to this one pastor said one time, stubbornness is of witchcraft. And it tell you that in the Bible, but it also tell you to be stubborn in a godly way. In Ephesians 6, after you've done all to stand, to still stand, or stand on the word of God in so many words you're saying. Oh, no. See, people can twist things around to suit their situation. And that's why, when I talked to the other pastor the other day, I told him, you don't do that to people. You don't twist the word of God to fit what you want to project. No, you don't do that. Now, is that what you believe and think? That's you. Hey, everybody, I can't make you think my way, and I don't want to think your way. I'm thinking the way I believe is right for me. You think the way that's right to you.
Okay. Anybody want to say anything or?
So the only thing I put down for my first, I just said to spread God's good news. And as far as I'm concerned, like the news of God is that you want to seek salvation, and then you got to believe in Jesus Christ, that
Okay.
he.
Okay. Now, going right along, and piggybacking even a little bit on what Deacon Mills was saying, and Deacon Smith, because this is where we're coming from, right there, also from the what is commonly known as the Great Commission, but I'm focusing mainly on the 19th and the 20th verse of 28th chapter of Gospel of Matthew.
I have that down.
Yes. If you have the 19th and the 20th verse in front of you, anybody, you can read it.
The 20. Oh, I have it written down. I'll find it. Matthew
Well,
28.
yeah.
Matthew 28. Here we go. 19 and 20. Matthew 28. It says, here we go. Thank you. Oh, that's the last one. 19:28. Oh, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. And
Okay.
I had 22, 37, and 39.
Okay, but now, what is so important about this? Y'all put give me something out of this here. We read it, and we know it as the Great Commission. But what is? Tell me something. Somebody, everyone, tell me one thing that's important about these verses that stands out for you, or what's important to you, maybe.
What if they go out to
I
all
put that.
nations? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, B.
No,
Okay, only
yeah.
want one thing from each person, because
Okay.
I want to hear from everybody.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead, Deacon Mose, you were talking, you started.
Yeah, when I say go out to all nations, that can be taken as different races, different faiths, different creeds. It could be a lot of different things. And that's just one issue there.
Okay, well, all nations is plain. All nations, you know it's everything that you've just named. All nations, because all nations are made up of people of different, you'll find different quick colors or races, you'll find different stations in life financially, you'll find it all,
Yeah,
and you can
that
look at it
covered.
from the perspective of a nation or different countries, or so whatever way you want to look at it, it's all there. I got no problem with any of that.
Okay.
That's
That's
one point.
everything.
That's one point. Somebody give me something else. It's a lot of stuff in it. It's a lot of meat on this bone here.
Stand firm in your
Wait a
belief.
minute, I can't hear. I'm hearing two people.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
I
Go
just said
ahead.
being baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Okay, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And what does that say to you?
It's
What does that
still
say to you?
saying you still must believe in, and you got to believe in Jesus and Christ. Well, his Father, they all the same, but you just got to believe in him. So that's why you want to be baptized in their name.
Okay, I'm not okay. Anybody else? Something else? Wait, did you most use? Oh, you want to comment on what she said? Yeah, go ahead.
What more?
That's funny because nobody ever talks about it, but most people believe you got to be a deacon or a pastor to baptize somebody. Bible don't teach that.
Oh,
No, it's saying what it's
no,
playing right there. You go out and make disciples, and then now he's talking to what? The church, to call that one his disciples. Go out and replicate yourself, make more disciples. Okay? And
But it's
baptize them.
not taught. It's not taught that way, Pastor. And that's
Oh,
what.
I agree with you. Oh, I agree with
Yeah,
you.
but
I
that's
agree with you.
wrong. The pastor's not to teach that like it's said. That's
Yeah.
wrong.
But we didn't. Well, no, it's one of the
You
traditional.
break it up. You break it up.
Yeah, this is one of the traditional things that a lot of our churches have fallen into. You know, Only the pastor can baptize folks.
Yeah.
And Jesus gave us such a great example of that I don't know why we don't take it and run with it. You know, why did he have to get baptized? We know that the baptized doesn't save. Well, that's a whole another lesson. But we know that. He's telling us right here. You can't. I don't know if we can get any plainer than right here. And one other thing that we need to point out, and I think it's not taught deep enough. I'm not saying it's not taught, but I don't think it's taught deep enough, is the order of things here. Become a disciple, then get baptized. You become a believer, then you get baptized. You become a follower, then you get baptized. That's important. You say, why is that important? Because I may become a believer and may not get the chance to get baptized. I can become a believer right there in the foxhole while we're in the middle of the war. And may never get a chance to get baptized.
Yeah, but once you believe.
That's the key. You must believe. He that believes. He that believes and is. Yeah, I mean, I had that opportunity. But the key thing is to understand the order. You believe first, then you get baptized. Okay, and that's important. It may seem like at this position that some of us are in, maybe it seems like something. Okay, I know this here. You're ready to run with it, but always remember there are many who do not know it, many who do not understand this, including believers, that it has not been dealt with deep enough for them to really fully understand it. How many times have you talked with people say, oh yeah, I got baptized? You said, you saved? Yeah, oh yeah, I got baptized. That's one of the first things to come out of their mouth. Oh yeah, I got baptized at such and such age. I got baptized at such. But you're not answering the question. You're not really answering the question. But that's, again, I'm not dwelling on that. I'm just putting that out. So he says, okay. I've heard two things, Karen. Who else hasn't spoken? Got an opportunity? Anybody?
I ain't say anything yet.
Yeah. Go ahead, D.
I was thinking of. Well, you said I was thinking of discipleship. Like, isn't that he's not saying it the word discipleship, but this is discipleship all over here, as far as teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. You're baptizing them. You know. Therefore, so you're going out and make disciples, but not just are you making disciples, you're discipling the disciples.
Yes.
So I think that's crucial here, because you can't teach somebody to obey certain ordinances. I'm not saying they won't understand it, but you can't do this one conversation. You know, I believe it's going to, so I take that's something that's just going to take time. Something that Deacon Cotton said, and you say, I think part of the issue here, and I think Jesus is dispelling this, is the levels of authority here. Now, you mentioned baptizing, anybody can baptize, which I totally agree with you. But the fact why it's not taught that way is I think people are in a power struggle. And right here, we see Jesus is saying, hey, it's no power struggle right here. Anybody can baptize, man. We are all in the same boat. Now, I mean, granted, you got... You know, as pastors and deacons and, you know, bishops, we understand all that. But what I'm saying is, like, there's no hierarchy, like, amongst the people outside of your job title, you know? And I think Jesus is showing us, like, no, man, like, anybody, you know, you go baptize, you make disciples. That's the important fact of the matter. That's, I don't know, that's just what I believe. But.
Oh, that's good stuff.
It makes
that's
sense. Yeah.
Good stuff. Because it's letting us understand that, okay, Karen may be let's say the pastor, okay. Peters is a deacon. Deacon Smith, you're the trustee. I'm an usher. We're all believers. You in the eyes of God, none of us is more important than the other. But we all have different positions. We're being part of the body, and that's why the Lord shows us this. Who in the world can say what part is more important than the other part? Y'all know the old story. Y'all know the old story when the people was in the church and the deacon said, he's so important, and a trustee was there. They were, so all these different officers came up, and then the janitor come up and said, I think he's the most important. Everybody started laughing at it. He said, okay. He said, okay. He stopped doing his job. Now, when he stopped doing his job and the place got all dirty, people's hands start getting all mussed up. The preacher can't preach. He's all coughing. Everybody can't do their job because they choking to death. And they you know, say, well, what do you say? Everybody's position,
position is important.
Job and gift is important. It makes up the body.
Yes, yes.
How would you look going around with you ain't nothing but legs? You ain't got no head, you ain't got no eyes, ain't nothing but legs to walk on.
Nope, that's the aliens. Nope, nope.
Nothing but one big old eyeball. How you gonna get around?
Nope, nope.
You know, every part is important. So we got right now, let's look at this, let's look at these 19 20 verses. All right, we got that part. Go and make disciples. Now this. Now, this is a directive, a commandment, okay? It's not the first time that Jesus gave us this condition. And I'm not going to try to say this is the first one I'm getting ready to say, but I'm going to give you all a passage of scripture that we know so well. 2 Chronicles 7:14. I can ask somebody to quote it. You probably can quote it right now and don't even turn to it.
2 Chronicles.
If my people, what does it say? Somebody want to finish?
Will humble themselves.
Okay. Speak up, Moose.
Turn from their wicked ways. Pray. Seek my face.
That's right.
Then
I'll heal the land.
Right now. I'm not worried about the order. You got everything in there. Now, the key thing here is what he's saying now. It's a condition. But notice what he's doing here. Now, we're talking about the land is in trouble. People doing all kind of crazy stuff. It might sound familiar to you. Like today, people doing this. The world is doing that. But he's not challenging the world. He's challenging his people.
Yes.
His disciples.
Mm-hmm.
Now, y'all do what y'all supposed to do. Y'all stay in communion with me. Seek me. Humble yourselves before me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Pray. Seek me. Turn from what you're doing wrong. And I will forgive you, and I will heal the land. Now notice when he said, I'll heal the land. He said, I'll heal you.
Oh, dear.
I will heal the land.
Don't
the Lord allow his blessings to come on the just as well as the unjust, just like he does the rain?
Amen.
Yeah, yes.
I will heal the land. The people will benefit from us doing what we're supposed to do. Why was such added daily to the church? Because the people saw how the called out ones were treating each other. There will be no such thing as Deacon Smith, Alicia, Peachy, watching Karen, Moses go hungry, yet your cupboards are full. There is no such thing. No such thing as that.
No.
If I got two, that means, hey, I got one that I can share with you. We both have one at least. But then, and they saw that. They saw how they were making sure that their, you know, those needs were being met. They saw how they fellowship, they commune with one another, how they treated each other. I want to be a part of that. Do they see the same thing today? I don't know. I don't know. I heard some preacher say years ago that Sundays must be one of the saddest days the Lord ever sees. And somebody said, what do you mean? You got all these different people going to all these different churches. They ain't said, what a separation that looks like to the God. There ain't nobody speaking to nobody. Where you? I'm on my way to my church. Well, so am I. I'm going. Everybody going different ways. Sometimes we got church on almost every corner and they don't even fellowship with each other. Yet they will all call themselves part of the body. Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's all true. So we see that there. So yeah, go out and make disciples. Go out and replicate yourself. Okay? What do you say next? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That was brought out also. Now, I'm not going to get into that discussion. Oh, well, you got to baptize in Jesus' name only. Okay. Or you got to baptize in what is the name of the Father? What is the name of the Son?
Yeah.
What is the name of the Holy Spirit? We have those we have those arguments also. I am not going to go into that argument. That's another discussion in and of itself.
Yeah.
Okay. Because there's so many scriptures that are brought out when people start wanting to get into this thing. Well, what did Jesus get baptized in? What name did he get baptized in? We talked a little bit even last week, or we've talked about that frequently. Or we started talking about the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip. Went with him as they were traveling. What I always love about that passage is that it says that Phil, now we know that the Ethiopian eunuch was reading Isaiah 53. He was reading Isaiah 53. We know that. But what I love in the passage where it says, and Philip began to teach him about Jesus. He took that. Now, I don't know what it said now. I want to leave nothing else. If somebody want to turn there, I don't have no problem with it. He took that passage and taught him about Jesus. Because remember the eunuch asked, he said, well, I don't understand this. The prophet talked about himself or somebody else. Remember the question the eunuch had for Philip?
Yeah.
And he began to teach. Now you might say, how can he teach him about Jesus from Isaiah? Jesus ain't walked around here yet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 53 what? Isaiah
53.
The first one?
Well, listen, but do you know that? No. That's what the Ethiopian eunuch was reading. The story comes from Acts. It comes from Acts. I believe that's Acts 8. I believe. I'm not sure about the Philip and the eunuch. It comes from Acts.
Oh, okay.
But that, but what I love about that, as they travel along and Philip teaching them, what happened? And we know, I don't want to say this again. We just talked about it last week. I just mentioned. But as they were going on, the Ethiopian got saved.
Mm-hmm.
He believed.
Okay.
When they came across some water along the way, he said, what's keeping me from getting baptized? Mm-hmm. Philip said, hey, if you believe in your heart, huh?
Acts 8:27.
Yeah. And Philip said, if you believe in your heart, you too can be baptized. I'm paraphrasing the story. The eunuch got off his chariot and he went on and got Philip baptized him.
Okay.
And I love the report that happened after that. That's why I said I didn't want to go into it, because right after Philip baptized him, Philip turned around, he was gone.
Ooh.
Can you imagine getting baptized? Somebody baptized you, look up, clear the water out of your eyes, and look where he's gone.
Wow.
Gone.
He had to do.
Yeah, he reappeared a little bit later, but he was gone. But the point is, we got right here, he got baptized.
Mm-hmm.
He baptized him. Notice what he said now. Make disciples, baptize them. You don't forget the order. Made the disciples, then he baptized. And then third, he says, teaching them, I think Deacon Smith just mentioned this again, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. This is key. Because it was, maybe a couple of you mentioned about how we are to live in front of the people.
Yes.
Now notice what he says. Teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. Then this is what I told you to do. Teach them the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
How you going to teach them if you ain't living it? I can't teach you. Don't make sure you don't take what that don't belong to you. Yeah, I've been going around with, sleeping around with Mary Sue. And Mary Sue is Deacon Jones' wife.
Mm-hmm.
That ain't no good. I can't tell you, teach you. Yeah, the Bible said don't steal. Yeah, you know that I'm a big time thief myself.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I just stole another man's wife. So yes. Now we're not talking about being perfect here. That's a whole different discussion too, along with it. But we're talking about how we are to live. But this is what the Lord said: you teach them.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just tell them to memorize scripture for memorization's sake.
Mm-hmm.
And don't just teach them the commandments, teach them to obey them.
Yes, that's what's important.
Teach them to obey them. Don't tell them. The Bible said, don't steal. Don't steal, boy. Yes, yeah, Dad. Yeah, Ma. But I ain't tell how to keep his hands to himself. We always talk about, listen, you know, those of us who have children, and you may remember when you were very young, you're not going to find anybody more determined than a child. We want to talk about the innocence and the humbleness of a child, but you watch children play with toys. If Joe got a toy that Johnny wants, Johnny going to go take that toy. Now, they're not doing it out of malice. He's not doing it out of hate. But he got something that I want. I want to play with that toy. Am I right or wrong? Y'all all know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Either raise your own or somebody else's child. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. That's what children do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, somebody I've heard it said in circles, when the Lord said, come as a child, that means when you see something you want, go get it. Take it. Well, you're partly correct. In other words, be determined like a child. Know what it is you want and don't be afraid to do that, but do it. Make sure that you're caught up in the way and in the will of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't in the Lord's will that you go take another man's wife, another man's husband.
Mm-mm-mm-mm.
You go steal something. No, that's not it. That's not in his word. That's not in his way. That's not in, no. Okay? But you teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. Not some, not most. Everything. Okay? Now, beloved, when we start talking about what are our responsibilities as a Christian, it's nice to come up with daycares for people to have daycares in the community. That's a good thing. To feed the folks in the community is a good thing. You know, to have different groups where they want to come and meet in the church, you know, all of that's good things. But don't ever forget the commandment and what you've been commissioned to do.
Mm-hmm.
Make disciples. If you really want to do something for the community, make disciples out of them.
Okay.
Teach them. Do what he says here. Teach them. Teach them how to obey the laws of God, what he's commanded. Teach them to obey the commandments of the Lord. Teach them to obey the instructions of the Lord. Teach them to obey what thus says the word of God. And watch how the community will change if you do that. This is our first order of business of the church. That's our first order of business. All of that, everything else we do is, that may be good stuff. But what good does it mean to make sure your belly is full? But when you leave here, you're going straight to hell. I didn't do you a good service. I did not do you a good service if I did not teach you, okay, to obey what thus says the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
For me, and like I said, I'm not trying to hold you out. I want to sum this up with another famous passage of scripture.
Come on.
Deacon Mose gave us a very, I like that what you gave us in Ecclesiastes. I would, as a New Testament counterpart to that, I would like to use another familiar passage of scripture, 2 Timothy 2:15. And I want to read it from the NIV. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth.
Mm-hmm.
Present yourself to God as one approved. You're not going to be approved by all men. Don't even believe that.
Mm-hmm.
You might not be approved by your family, by relatives, by your mate. Oh, yeah. People say, well, wait a minute. Now, you put it on a problem. If that's your mate, shouldn't you both have been saved? What if neither one of you was saved when you got married, and then one got saved ahead of the other one?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The scripture gives us how he's supposed to handle that, but that happens.
Yeah.
That happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but He said, but you present yourself before God. In other words, whatever you're doing, whatever you know the Lord has laid upon you to do, whatever gifts you know the Lord has given you, and you doing it as the best you can, say, listen, I'm presenting my body a living sacrifice to God. That's the, you know, he died for me. The least I could do is live for him. And so I'm going to give my gifts to the Lord. And you know that that's what you're doing. People are going to talk about you, say, oh, you just bragging, or you just being flamboyant. You're this, you're that. But you know in your heart that what you're doing unto God, that the scripture tells us to do. And if you know that that's what you're doing, you know that's your heart's intent, that's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's one approved unto God. Now look what he says, and I like what the King James says, where he says too, you know, present your bodies as living sacrifices, present your bodies unto God.
Mm-hmm.
A workman, he said, that needed not be ashamed. Well, in the New NIV, it says the same thing, except it says a worker. Understand something, beloved. You are always on the job.
Yeah.
You're on the job. Mm-hmm. You're a worker. On the job. And you want to make sure that what you're doing on your job is approved unto God. And you don't have to be embarrassed. You're not going to shame. You're not going to put God to shame. And you're not going to be shamed by what you're doing. I'm not embarrassed. I'm not embarrassed because, hey, I gave what I gave. I'm not embarrassed because I'm, you know what, everybody else is talking about, oh, man, I've done enough. I'm still moving on. I'm still pressing on. Oh, man, you're just trying to make us look bad. No, this is the best that I could do. This is my reasonable service, the most reasonable way that I can worship God. Now, you said, I came into church, I worked for 15 minutes, and I had to go. Well, I got an hour. I told him I had an hour today. I'm going to work that hour. I'm going to work that 2 hours, or whatever it is I can do. I ain't trying to shame nobody else. I'm working out my own soul salvation. So yes, beloved, it's very important that we know what our responsibilities are, not as defined by the world, not even defined by other folk, but defined as the word of God says what we should be doing. Now, am I trying to say that's all we should be doing? No, but I'm just pointing out that we should not forget.
I got a question.
Yes, go ahead.
You know when it says, study to show yourself approved by unto God?
Yes.
And the last sentence says, rightly dividing the word of God.
Right.
What do you mean by dividing the word of God?
Anybody want to deal with that?
Yeah, I see you look up, Mo.
Anybody else want to deal with that? Rightly dividing the word of truth? Nobody? Okay, I don't want to cut anybody off. Okay. I like how it reads in the NIV. Yeah, go ahead, Deke.
Oh, no, that's fine. You got it.
Yeah, I like how it says in the NIV. That's why I read it there. It says, I'm going to read the whole verse. It says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. And watch this. And who correctly handles the word of truth.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. Rightly divide means correctly handle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You've got a lot of people who take passages of scripture, they take them out of context, they put in a passage where they want it, where they think it should fit. They may not even be in a whole passage or what. No, he says, you handle it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Handle it correctly. That's what rightly divides mean.
Okay. Thank
you. Handle
you.
It correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, any other questions, comments? Okay, thank y'all. I think, did anybody think this was beneficial as far as responsibilities as a Christian? Don't let the world define what you're supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
The word of God has already done that. Now, if I could do anything else, or if I could go that extra mile, and it's not, you know, it's okay, it's in the way, you know, in the word or in the will of the Lord, I got no problem with it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But if I can't do them both, I got to do what I got to do.
Yes.
I got to do what I got to do. Okay, the world doesn't dictate how we do that too often. And I think we've done it way too long, allowing the world to dictate what we're supposed to be doing. Or you owe this to the community. What I owe to the community is to do what the word is telling me to do here. Teach. My job is not on a lectern somewhere on a political arena. My job is dictated by the word of God. Or if I'm a pastor, from the pulpit, the rostrum. That's where I come from. I don't need a political platform. That's not my thing. That's not what I'm called to do. That's not what I'm sent to do. I have been commissioned and commanded by the Lord to do what it says right here in Matthew 28:19-20. Now, that may be, like I said, I'm not saying that this is all we do, but don't forget this. This is what the Lord told his called out ones, his disciples, his followers, as he was getting ready to lead them. This is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to do. Now, if you can do all the, everything else that they tell you that you think you should be doing and not forsake this, you might want to consider this to be your first love. I don't know. But it's good stuff. For me, it's good stuff. I don't know about y'all, but it helps keep me on my toes. You know, you got a lot of places, a lot of different churches, I'll say. They got all these ministries going on. They got a feeding ministry for the community. They got all this and that. But what are y'all teaching them? There's no Bible study. There's no prayer meeting. What are you doing for the community? You're right here. You're not really feeding them spiritually. This is what God told you to do. It's not enough to me to give you a meal and hand you a tract. All right, brother, have a good night. That's not enough. It's not enough. That's not teaching them. I'm planting a seed, man, and I got no problem with that. We need to do that too. I'm not saying don't do that. Because we ought to plant seeds. One plants. So you might consider that, okay, I planted a seed today when I gave them that tract. But don't ever forget. And only you and the Lord, I'm well, not only you and the Lord, but you will know if you're doing what the Lord told you to do. You can fool me, I can fool you. But I know if I'm doing what the Lord told me to do. Any comments? Any comments? Any
I just want to ask you,
Yes, go ahead.
what was that verse from Ecclesiastes? Luke?
Ecclesiastes 12,
12, 11, 12, 12, 12, 12, 12, 12, let us, yeah, 12, 12.
Okay, thank you.
No, I'm sorry, 12, 13.
Oh, 13.
12, 13. It's 12, 13.
13.
It's 12,
12,
13.
13. All
Yeah.
right.
I just read all 12. I couldn't. Okay. Thank
Yeah,
you.
that, yeah.
Yeah, 12, 13.
Yeah, that was good. And that
And
was a
isn't
good
it?
question too, brother.
Thank you.
Yeah, but that's right. That's a very good verse right in time with this. And like I said, I think it's a good companion verse to 2 Timothy. I think it is. Yeah, I think it's a good companion verse. Well, if there are no more comments or questions, someone want to just close us out in prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening Bible study. Thank you for everyone that was here to partake of the message that was given and for us understanding more better.